not to be a cop, thank God. But it's a shoot, don't shoot call every time you're out there. It's not easy. It's never easy, but this is tragic. Now, let me be clear here. This, I believe, was a failure partially because of training and discipline. I mean, when you're using aviation as a primary source of delivery of weaponization of combat, of firepower, you've got to be very, very precise. This is what General McChrystal is always talking about. This is where we got to get it right if we're going to have the population on our side. Don't forget there were two kids involved in this. I watched the video very closely, Dylan. And what's going to happen when those kids grow up now? What will there be their memories of this incident? This is where we've got to be better than good. We've got to be great. I understand the context of both ends of this, that there were a lot of RPGs coming out.
Let me make it really clear, though.
Yes.
From your perspective, were the rules of engagement followed from what you see in this piece of videotape?
Let me be clear. I, based on the fact this is not confirmed video from the Army, I don't know, but based on what I've seen only, and I'm making a judgment of what I've seen, no, they were not. The first rule is you may engage persons who commit hostile acts or show hostile intent by minimum force necessary. Minimum force is the key here. If you see eight armed men, the first thing I would think as an intelligence officer, how can we take these guys and capture them? We don't want to kill people arbitrarily. We want the intel take. Now, most importantly, when you see that van show up to take away the wounded, do not target or strike anyone who has surrendered or is out of combat due to sickness or wounds. So the wound part of that I find a bit disturbing by the fact that you had people down, clearly down. You had people on the way there. Again, speaking as an intelligence officer, my intent is to capture people, to recover them. That is the idea here. If you're not doing that, then you're not really doing precise combat.
Glenn, put all this together, and it is everybody's worst nightmare brought to reality. And it is a reality that does not get a lot of coverage, we know, in this country, if any, which is why WikiLeaks exists. When you look at what is coming, which is the awareness that this, not in the abstract, but in the concrete, is what occurs, how does the American military, how does the American media, how does the American, and how do you perceive this altering the conversation? And I'm going to come back to Brett for this as well, but go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I think that one of the things to emphasize is that WikiLeaks is actually heroic, because this kind of footage is seen all the time in the Muslim world about what we're actually doing over there and what the effect of our missions are. But it's seen very rarely over here, and it sparks the kind of discussion that we ought to be having about what our wars and invasions actually entail. Are doing. And I think the other important thing to note about it is this is far from uncommon. I mean, just today on the front page of the New York Times, the Pentagon had to admit that claims it made about a special forces attack 2 months ago in Afghanistan were completely false, where we killed 5 civilians and claimed that 3 of them were ones that we had found bound and gagged at the time that we entered the village, when in fact we ended up killing all 5 of those civilians. This happens constantly, but we only learn about it when investigative journalists or sites like WikiLeaks expose it. And what I think it underscores is, look, we know that if we send soldiers into war, these kinds of things are going to happen. That's the fog of war. Even well-intentioned soldiers are going to commit acts like this. The point, though, is we ought to think about why we continue to invade other countries and occupy other countries, knowing that the kinds of things that we see on this video are the kinds of things that we're going to be doing to the population there. It's not only immoral, but incredibly counterproductive. As the gentleman just said, what do you think the people who see this video and the family members who are surviving are going to think about the United States for the next 2 or 3 decades?
At what point, Brett, do you really have to ask the question about the security mission and the desire for everybody in America to have security, and the mechanism, the reality of our military engagement in Iraq and Afghanistan, and whether, in fact, at what point it is beneficial and at what point it is detrimental? How do you even answer that question, I guess?
I mean, that's a gigantic geostrategic question. I have to say, at the time, our mission in Iraq, we were losing the war at this point. We're surging U.S. forces to regain the initiative, to leave behind a stable Iraq as our troops can pull back and we can bring troops home. And that's what ended up happening. The mission was to protect the population. Therefore, an operation like this went against the very mission. There's probably more examples of U.S. troops out in the streets trying to protect civilians and not engaging, and we're taking
casualties. I have no doubt. And I think everybody in this I don't think anybody in this conversation, I hope, is seeking to indict either the soldiers or the military explicitly. I think it's understandable going to the old suicide by cop narrative when you have that level of fear and anxiety and a tripod and all that. You can see where this happens. But the bigger question is, if we are trying to secure our nation and we are spending $12 billion a month on war in the Middle East and we're working our way towards $1 trillion and you're talking about 100,000 dead Iraqis and nearly five, I can go keep going. When does the question become, where does our security end and a war that appears to be off track begin?
Well, again, I mean, look, historians will judge the consequences of the Iraq intervention. There's a chance now that we're going to leave something better behind in Iraq, but it's going to take about 10 years to determine that. I don't know. All I know is we're in a situation at that point where Baghdad is out of control, on the precipice of genocidal levels of violence before we did the surge, and trying to secure the population and give the Iraqis a chance. Now, you look at a video like this, and of course you say, my gosh, everything is going...
But to Glenn Greenwald's point, unfortunately, there are more examples like this, and this is... no one here is seeking to indict specifically any of these soldiers at all. But I think it's critical that we acknowledge that in the fog of war, in the context of combat, that this is what is happening. And at the very least, to Glenn's point, this is what is being seen by the families who would view American soldiers and American presence as infidels.
But it's also critical to acknowledge that we have, at that time, U.S. soldiers in the streets to protect Iraqi civilians. Iraq before the surge was just...
no one's contesting that yet.
So we put Americans in harm's way to stabilize that and give a city of 7 million people a chance. And that's what was happening. Now, an event like this goes against that entire mission.
Yeah.
So therefore, this is a terrible, tragic thing, and I'm not going to defend it. The context is really critical.
And I appreciate your offering us as much of that as you have, Glenn. Same to you. Again, thank you so much for your reporting and your context. Anthony, same to you. Appreciated. We will continue our coverage of this developing story over the next few days.